This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Just saw news where the FAA security chief is stepping down. The guy from Logan Airport had to step down. People say, is it fair? Is it right? Is it legal? It's all that stuff, because even if they had nothing whatsoever to do with what happened, they have to leave. They just have to. That's just the way of the world. You have to get confidence, get people re-inspired with a little bit of confidence. You got to get a fresh face in there. You can't keep the same guy. I'm not saying the guy that ran the FAA had anything to do with what happened, but he can't have the same guy in there. He's the security chief. Hello. Well, what do you mean, Phil? How is that fair? It isn't fair, but it's right. Know what I mean? The guy at Logan Airport. Look, don't start talking to me about how we should have had a more and better intelligence. And you know, we did what we did. We made the decisions that we made. We wanted to save money. Didn't we want to save money? We wanted to make it more efficient, and we wanted to make it more smooth running, and we wanted to make it something that wouldn't take all of that tax money out of our pockets where it rightfully belongs. So we invested in things that might be less expensive. And don't kid yourself, hardware, ultimately, when it comes to the intelligence game, is a little bit less expensive than people. And guess what? So anyway, the guy that runs the FAA, now he didn't have anything to do with that, but he's stepping down. The guy that ran the security at Logan, he's stepping down. And that's the way it ought to be. Hey, when you're the man, and the old saying is the buck stops there, it's stopping there, and it ain't moving. It's stopping right on you. The buck stopped there. This nose is leaving at 5 o'clock. You better be on it. Okay, not that anybody knows what that means, but we got a good laugh out of it during show prep. 1-800-449-8686. The news story is Americans are gradually recovering from the shock of the September 11th terrorist attacks as a survey that indicates 4 in 10 still report they felt depressed in recent days by the assault, and a fourth having trouble concentrating at work. Well, that's got to end. Start concentrating at work. I'm serious. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Start concentrating at work. If you can't concentrate at work, then you better get some help. That has got to end. Bad dreams, we all have them. Depressed, you bet. But you got to be able to do your job. And if you can't do your job, leave your job, take a leave of absence, get some disability, go find somebody and talk to them. I'm involved in this right now with one of the kids. I have taken over personally. Not that he's depressed about anything that went on September the 11th, but his schoolwork is like right in the toilet. So Maria is now working, and I said, well, I'll take on at least a part of the responsibility here. I'll make sure that he has his homework done. I'll make sure that he is concentrating in school, taking his notes. This is a full-time job, man. This kid doesn't take notes. He doesn't, you know, he's not listening. He's not doing his homework. I mean, great kid. So he says to me, well, it's hard, and it's this and that. I said, you still got to do it. You still have to do it. And so I, you know, don't let him eat for a few days, and he has to sleep on the floor without a bed. And, you know, we beat him with a ruler. And, you know, gradually a young person gets the message. The number of having difficulties has declined since the days following the attacks when 7 of 10 said they felt depressed. And half said they were having difficulty concentrating. The number who reported trouble sleeping at night has dipped from 33% to half that level. Women were more likely than men in the latest survey to say they were feeling depressed by the attacks. 3/4 of Americans worry the attacks in this country are not over, apparently a leading factor in the continuing emotional distress. The American public is recovering extremely slowly. How quickly do you think we're supposed to recover from something like this? You don't get over anything like this in a day or a week or a month or a year. This will be with all of us for the rest of our lives. Get over it? Yes. How quickly? I don't know. There's some stuff you have to do. You got to go to work. The American public is recovering slowly, and he said that there has been no drop in the public attention to media coverage of the attacks. 3/4 say they are closely following news of the attacks. All right, on our website today, we had this question. The question is, it's not really a question, it's a statement. Do you agree with the statement? I went out and bought a gas mask. A, yes. B, no. C, I'm thinking about it. D, never. Let's see how the public responded to the Phil Hendry Polls America question. I went out and bought a gas mask. A, yes, 3%. B, no, 38%. C, I'm thinking about it, 13%. D, never, 46%. The two biggest vote-getters there, no and never. You say, well, it's the same answer. No, it is not the same answer. No is not the same as never. No is, no, I haven't bought a gas mask. I may not be thinking about it, but I'm not going to rule out that I would buy a gas mask someday. So most of the people said never, and then the second most of them said no, but just a word to the wise, gas mask ain't going to do squat against anthrax. Just thought I'd let you know. And on that subject, a man got anthrax in Florida. I turned on CNN this morning, and man, you would have thought that another plane hit a building someplace. Well, anthrax, one man, yes, one whole guy got it. We don't know how, and we don't know when, and that's just one more reason to start to panic. One whole person had anthrax. Big news. And again, they had the guy down there in Florida, and he's talking to the reporter, the guy back at the home base, and let me see if I got you right, Eddie. Did you say that we aren't sure how he got it? Well, that's right. So far, the doctors aren't sure. Aha! And it's almost like the reporter wants to say, what do you mean, aha? Well, we don't know how he got it. It must be a mysterious... In other words, it could have come from a terrorist. Well, technically, I guess you're right. Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much. But I have more to say. Thank you. Now on to our commercial. What in the heck? Here is Damien on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Phil. I'd like to talk about that stop loss you were talking about last hour. It affected me. I'm in the Air Force now, and they won't let me out. I have a full-time Air National Guard slot in Michigan, and they won't let me out of the Air Force.
Why do you want out?
Because this is where I'm from. Michigan's my home, and I had this
You joined the Air Force, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't get it.
I've had this plan for over a year, and
well, you might have had it. Did you have it planned that the Air Force had you, and that they would, you know, that they might not let you out?
I thought about it, but I was thinking, well, why would that affect me? Since I'm going to be in the Air National Guard anyways, I'm going in the military.
How is it you join the Air Force and then you decide to join some other thing?
Well, I like to be closer to home.
Yeah, but the Air Force has you for a determined number of years, do they not?
That's right, and I already served my 4 years. I'm
okay.
Done.
Okay, and then so why don't they let you out?
Because of the stop loss.
Because they need you.
For the possible call-up.
Okay, well that is the possibility in the event of war or in the event of some armed conflict, correct?
I agree with that, but also, you know, like I was saying, I'm actually going into the military anyways, the Air National Guard.
Right, but the Air Force has got you now.
That's correct, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Good luck.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I joined the Air Force, but now I want out. Will they have you because we're maybe go to war? Yeah, but I had it all planned out. I was going to go to school, and then I was going to start an ophthalmology practice. I'm a podiatrist, and I was a whole new thing. Dog's feet. And now the whole thing is up in smoke, man. Gee whiz. See, that's the whole, that in a nutshell is the quandary that a lot of people have. You know, I was going to live my life, but all of a sudden, life intervened. You know, I was just moving along here, Phil, enjoying my life and flying airplanes and having a drink and having my dinner and operating my career. And what do you suppose happened? What's that? Another part of life sort of intervened and changed all of that. Well, I mean, that's the way it goes. Well, that's not fair. Yeah, we'll go petition God or whoever, Zeus. My mom wrote me an excuse note. Why can't I get out? I don't know. You know, it says that please excuse Eddie. He's been sick. This is the thing that is, and I really believe that's the quandary of America. This is where it's at. It's, you know, this is so inconvenient. What's that? This attack on New York. Is that so much frightening, people? It's inconvenient as hell. You better believe it. Welcome to life. And guess what? The good news is someday it'll be over. One way or another, for you, me, and all of us, someday this thing called life, this confusing, unpredictable series of events, series of moments, series of faces and series of people, series of decisions, series of joyful decisions and frustrating failures, all of this someday will be over. And then we can go on about whatever the hell else happens after that. which I will not speculate on right now, nor would I care to. 1-800-449-8686. Although when I talk to St. Peter at the Pearly Gates, I hope I get a good seat there at the big bar and billiard room in the sky. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
So they had, looked like armed Air National Guard or United States Army soldiers in American airports just recently. I just saw this on the news, just clips of that, and it reminded me of Mexico. Not that they look like Mexican soldiers, but try flying to any country in the world where they've had an experience with this kind of thing, and it's not an unusual sight at all. Soldiers, guns, airports, very common. Go to Mexico just for starters. Fly into Cancun. You think it's all just beautiful, sugary beaches and waving palms and a margarita here and a little shoot over of the old Don Julio Blanco there? Nah, my friend. Nah. They got soldiers with dogs and rifles. I'm not talking about sidearms. Like, they got freaking rifles. The other thing about Mexico, huh? Well, I don't know what they are. I mean, they've got shoulder slung rifles, dogs. Full army uniform. And then if you get in the car and you drive south of Puerto Vallarta for like 2 hours, because there's a little place that Maria and I like down near the little village down there on the beach, you're hitting army checkpoints. Army checkpoints. Try that one on for size. It's just, and we don't want to keep repeating this, but it really is America joining the world a little bit here. Not that we did anything wrong or deserved any of this. Or, you know, it's just... Take solace in the knowledge that others have gone before us and have experienced this and have some practical experience with it. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. We love you in Houston.
Thanks.
Hey, what's your opinion on the illegal aliens, Mexican-American men, being recruited, going over there with Mexican-American leaders of descent, and when they go over there and they fight, the ones that come back gain their citizenship?
I don't know. Where'd you hear that?
I heard that on one of your competitors' shows. Actually,
well, in other words, was that somebody coming up with an idea, or is that something that's being proposed?
That's something I actually thought of that not too long after. I never voiced it, though, and I heard it yesterday on one of our talk show following yours.
Sure, why not? And, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. I don't know. There's my cousin who was from Canada. Was in the United States at the beginning of the buildup for the Vietnam War, and he could have been drafted.
Right.
He had a visa, he was living here, and he could have been drafted. So it's not unprecedented, nationals from another country being placed in the armed force of the United States. What do I think about them getting their citizenship if they happen to be illegals? I would say that if they don't get if they don't give all the military secrets to the enemy, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, man.
Yeah. I'm talking mainly the Mexican.
I don't know. Don't you want a motivated army? You know, how motivated is the cat going to be? You know, hey, look, you can get your citizenship, Eddie, if you go over there and get shot. I guess if he really cares about the country and really wants to do something for America and intends on becoming a citizen. Many people from Mexico who are here illegally working have no desire to be American citizens. They don't have any interest in being American citizens. They want to come here, make a few dollars, and split, which doesn't make them much different from a lot of business people that come here from other countries, make a few bucks, and split. They just happen to be doing it. They're doing it on the economy plan. So, first of all, I think you need to ask them, do you want to be a citizen? Hey, if you join the army, get shot at by some Afghanis, you could be a citizen. No, thank you. Really? Yeah. What America ought to have is like a French Foreign Legion style division of soldiers. The French Foreign Legion, we've talked about on this show because they're fascinating to me. I almost joined the French Foreign Legion when I broke up with a girlfriend of mine and I didn't have anything to live for. And anyway, I thought either the monastery or the French Foreign Legion, so I got books on both of them. There's a monastery up the coast of California where they have, like, what do you call those guys that don't talk? Yeah, I know they're monks, but they don't rap. They don't say anything. They just sit around all day, like, not saying nothing. I was going to do that, or I was going to join the French Foreign Legion. And I decided to stay and talk radio. But the cool thing is, they don't say anything, and they're monks, but they brew beer. So they sit around all day, sucking beer and getting hammered, and they can't say a word. They're just like... just trying to keep their laughter in. So I was either going to join them. But the French Foreign Legion, you can be the scum of the earth. You can be illegal in 58 countries. You can join the French Foreign Legion, but you must serve for 7 years. You must. And some other thing, I forget which. It's really fascinating. And you know, the French Foreign Legion, these guys have got a reputation for some nasty. They got a nasty I believe they've got a nasty reputation, Mr. Gitz. So we had to come up with something like that. Now you can take your Mexicans and all the guys that want to join and just be the scum of the earth, give them some kind of a beret, give them some badass-looking uniform, a skull and crossbones insignia, arm them with, like forged steel German sabers. And you can call them the Phil Foreign Legion. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Carlton, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how you doing? Good evening.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Thank you for letting me air my opinion.
Go ahead.
I want to say, I think that what we need to do is not just send these little bags of food over here. You're going to have to hook these people up longer than that. I think these people know that's probably the only reason that they're getting this.
What's that?
Second of all...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Second of all, I think that we need to... set these people up. We need to have them go out to Bin Laden.
Oh,
and we need to,
yeah, okay.
And we need to we need to educate these people.
Well, I don't doubt that when we left the Mujahideen behind in Afghanistan in the late 80s, we left them just holding their ass, that we didn't leave them with anything. We gave them guns and we helped them throw out the Russians, and then we didn't give them farming equipment. We could have helped them build roads. We could have helped them build schools. We could have become friends to the people of Afghanistan. We chose not to do it. I guess it was another cost-cutting measure. I guess it was more of that, I don't want my money going to bail out some foreign country, foreign aid kind of rap that somebody bought in Congress. And, you know, folks, foreign aid isn't all horrible. Number one, we don't spend all that much compared to other monies that we spend on foreign aid. That's number one. Number two, it ain't all bad. It can buy you some goodwill. It can win you some friends. It can win you some heartfelt thanks. It can win you a little loyalty. What do you say to me? Well, you can't buy your friends, Phil. Well, you can help your friends. You let people know what you're about. How do you do that? With speeches? No, you got Americans who are over there helping side by side, helping people build a road, helping them build a school, helping them vaccinate their kids, helping them grow a crop. Who helped you do that? An American did. That's the whole thing behind the Peace Corps. We were talking about that the other night. There's nothing wrong with that. If you think there's something wrong with that, you're not just a conservative or a Republican or a tight fiscally. You're just a sour, sour person. You don't want anything to get better. You like the continual chronic tension that exists. You like that. That gives you something to bitch about when you call your favorite talk show. So you can always be unhappy and that you can always bitch. You can always call up Eddie Brown here, the foremost conservative. I'm going to break some news to you that's going to come as a shock. I know it's going to just destroy a lot of you. Not all the screw-ups in this country over the last 40 years were caused by Democrats and liberals. Hate to break the news. Not all of the screw-ups, not all of the bad moves and the bad turns down the road were done by them. And occasionally, a good idea and a good government program comes to the fore. I feel the Peace Corps was one of them. I think VISTA was one of them, Volunteers in Service to America. That's where Americans actually went into the Appalachians and taught our own people how to read and fed these dirt poor people in the Appalachian Mountains. I was taught by VISTA volunteers in the Appalachian Mountains, and that's how I've become a talk show host. I was raised by wild talk show hosts. Well, I'll get into it later. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The talk is, and in some instances, the actual fact is, flight attendants, our friendly favorite flight attendants, the women and men who service our drinks and give us those safety dances at the beginning of our flights, are learning themselves self-defense techniques, are learning themselves certain martial art technique, so that they, too, would be a line of defense against anything untoward happening during our flight to here or there or wherever. So you'd have an air marshal, and then you would have flight attendants getting self-defense and martial arts training. Art Griego is was a longtime commercial pilot, is now a private pilot in Santa Monica. Where are you right now, Art?
Phil, I'm over at one of my favorite places at the Spitfire Grill.
The Spitfire Grill at Santa Monica Airport.
Yes, I am.
Your feelings about flight attendants getting self-defense and martial art training?
Phil, I think it's a classic case where you may have a safety issue. If a pilot who has been traditionally the pilot has been traditionally the leader of the flight, if you will, is suddenly knocked down a peg by the fact that he's got women, and let's face it, most flight attendants are females, who know martial arts, who know karate, and all of a sudden they're in the cabin exercising a certain level of power that the pilot may not have. I think you run the risk of having pilots feel emasculated.
Emasculated?
Yes, and demoralized, knowing that flight attendants are on board that know karate.
Well, what is the end result of a pilot feeling emasculated? And you said he would be demoralized by a flight attendant.
Well, the pilot, like I say, is primarily male. The flight attendants are primarily female. And now you've got a pilot who's sitting up in the cabin knowing that he's got a flight attendant who knows karate. He could become depressed. He could become disoriented. And if he becomes disoriented, not knowing where or even who he is, and you have a question where a man is questioning his own identity, and he's flying 35,000 feet in the air with I don't know how many tons of fuel, you got yourself a safety question, mister. And I really feel...
So the mere fact that the flight attendants know karate...
Well, let's call it what it is. He knows that he's got a crew of flight attendants that, if I could use the word, Phil, kick ass. And what does he get to do? Oh, fun, I'm flying the plane. Meanwhile, they're back there, you know, and they get to know karate and all that. The other thing that we used to enjoy as pilots, Phil, was a fairly good-natured and loose social relationship with our flight attendants. And there was nothing wrong with, and I know that any flight attendant listening understands that when she would bring us our coffee or bring us our meal, a good-natured slap, a good-natured hug, slapper, okay, on the rear end. Now, if you do that, you run the risk of a broken neck, a fractured skull. Women who get to be trained in self-defense as flight attendants, meanwhile, I got to sit up there in the cockpit. It's not fun. It's not fair.
So you used to slap them on the rear end, thanks for the coffee, and now you run the risk.
You run the risk of having your head repeatedly driven into the side of a drink cart. Now, I have not...
You're being a little melodramatic there.
No, I'm not, because... And here's the other thing. You can't do anything about it. If I've got a flight attendant who knows self-defense, and she's ramming the head of a passenger, and this happened on a flight between Boston and Portland, Maine, a flight attendant had a passenger in a headlock and was running his head into the side of a drink cart.
Good God.
And the pilot couldn't do anything about it.
Why?
Because that's the air marshal and flight attendant's purview. That's their domain. I got to go out, get coffee, and stand there and watch one of my passengers have his head run into the side of the aft can door.
This has got to be illegal.
No, not if there's a safety question.
For a flight attendant to manhandle a passenger that way has got to be illegal.
Not if there's a safety question.
And what about the air marshal? What about the air marshal who is on board? Why is he not dealing with these kinds of issues? And by the way, we're speaking hypothetical terms here. None of this has happened. Although you said a flight between Boston and Portland, how many years ago?
Oh, this was probably about 10 years ago.
Flight attendant who happened to know karate?
That's correct.
All right, so, but how is this? What about the air marshal?
Well, you got a problem with the air marshal, Phil. He's undercover. And for him to come to the aid of the flight attendant, now everybody knows who he is. Okay? So he blows his cover, so he can't help.
Well, what about the what do you mean? What's he doing there?
He's there for safety.
Well, if he comes to, what do you mean he's there for safety? If he you got to find out who he is sooner or later.
I don't understand.
What do you mean you don't understand? If the guy, if a terrorist is hijacking the plane, the air marshal stands up and shoots the terrorist, I guess everybody knows it's an air marshal.
Well, that's one of the problems they have. He's undercover, but the minute that he goes to shoot a terrorist, everyone will know who he is, which means now he's got to take a different flight.
You mean they're going to keep the same air marshal?
Yeah, on the same flights, back and forth. They can't do that. But getting back to the passenger, getting back to flight attendants knowing karate, I think there's also another problem, Phil. Women don't use their rage. Once that rage is accessible by teaching them karate, you could get a passenger killed. And I'm not kidding. I walk out of the cockpit, and I see a flight attendant hammering someone with a fire extinguisher. You want to see that, Mr. Henry? I guarantee it isn't pretty.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego has some very strong feelings about flight attendants getting self-defense or karate training because you're afraid that most flight attendants are females and will misuse this.
Because most women are not in touch with their anger. And once they get a little karate training, you know, you got to understand, Phil, the other thing, we've got a lot of flight attendants that are close to retirement. Now, they've been eating a lot of passenger crap for a lot of years. They've been having to listen to a lot of complaining and whining about my meal isn't here, and I need my pillow, I need a blanket. And they've been listening to this and listening to this and listening to this. Now, a week before retirement, you may have some flight attendants looking for payback. Now, I can't do anything about it.
When you say payback, what are you talking about?
I mean, they want just any excuse at all. After all those years of listening to people bitch and moan about the food service, the drinks, they didn't get their change, their headphones don't work, and now you give them, you arm those women who are a week away from retirement with karate training, someone's going to get their head, you know,
rammed into a drink cart.
Yes.
Good God.
And I can't do anything about it. It's the discretion of the air marshal and the flight attendant. I just got to sit up there like, this is the thing that I don't like, Phil.
Well, I don't understand why you can't. You're the captain of the plane.
I'm the captain of the plane, but what do you want me to do? Do you want me to take on some flight attendant? And now, of course, you're going to have a lot of lesbians being hired because a lot of them are into that sort of thing. This should also scare passengers. If you say you've had a couple of Bud Lights and you forget to put on your seatbelt, now you have a flight attendant who's been trained in karate, and I'm sure we've all seen what was called on television the Vulcan Death Grip. That could also be utilized.
The Vulcan Death Grip, that's baloney, isn't it?
No, sir, it is not.
You mean where Spock grabbed the guy's shoulder?
That is correct. That can also be used.
It says to me that you are against these things because you are going to feel emasculated as the pilot. But what if it makes the plane safer?
I'm going to sit up there like a flying eunuch, not being able to do anything, with one hand on the yoke and my other hand with my thumb parked you know where, and I don't need to tell you.
No, you're right. But the point that I'm trying to make is that with the flight attendants knowing karate and knowing self-defense, it may make the plane safer.
It may make the plane safer for the flight attendants. But the passengers, again, having to put up...
Well, you got this whole thing about the passengers ramming some passenger's head, or the flight attendants ramming a passenger's head into the lavatory door.
Into the door of the cockpit.
Into the door of the cockpit.
Yeah. I did some... I was flying, it was about probably 20 years, and I heard... And I said, come in. And I opened the door, and some guy's head...
All right, hold the line here, Art, because it's very troubling what we're talking about. Flight attendants and flight attendants across the country are taking self-defense classes. Some are taking karate, martial arts, etc., to learn self-defense, and in so doing, present perhaps another protection against what could happen were a terrorist to commandeer a flight. Art Griego is a former commercial pilot who doesn't believe in that. He thinks that emasculates the pilot who used to be the leader of the flight. He says it also could jeopardize the passengers. He mentioned that he was on a flight where he saw a flight attendant who apparently was skilled in some kind of martial art ramming the head of a passenger into a drink cart. He also has mentioned, and I'm just taking some notes as he spoke, that he would feel like a flying eunuch, knowing that his flight attendants could either fracture his skull or break his neck just because he gives them a good-natured pat on the, quote, ass, end quote. Interesting, interesting food for thought. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I just don't think you can call them flight attendants any longer, Phil. With flight attendants knowing karate, many of them, and I've got nothing against lesbians. I want you to know that.
Okay.
All right, you got nothing against lesbians.
But a lot of these new flight attendants know karate. I think they should be called attack bitches in skirts.
Attack bitches.
That. Let me tell you something. If it's a bunch of lesbian flight attendants who know karate, I'm locking myself in the cockpit, and I ain't coming up.
1-800-449-8686. Judy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Judy.
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this man. I cannot believe him. What is his problem? I am not a lesbian. I'm not a flight attendant.
I'm a very, very juicy woman.
And I have never heard a man so afraid of women in my life.
No, I'm not afraid of women. I'm talking about the safety of passengers. First of all, I don't think it's wrong to say that it would emasculate a lot of pilots knowing that there's a stewardess on board who could take.
Let me ask you something. Do you think
it disseminates?
Why are we always talking about emasculating men?
Don't.
You never hear anybody talking about
defeminizing
a woman.
You know, I guess you laugh at your husband when he can't perform.
Absolutely not. And my husband can always perform because I'm a hell of a woman.
And what would happen?
And when he can't, I understand. And when
I'm tired, he
understands. You're the biggest chauvinist I've ever heard. I haven't heard
anybody.
Ma'am,
I am not a chauvinist.
Like
I am trying to save the lives of passengers.
You're not a chauvinist. You're a pig, honey.
Let me tell you something. There was a time. There was a time.
And I bet no woman wants you.
I happen to be a happily married. Well, I'm happily married, but we're having issues.
I feel sorry for your wife.
Oh, you do. May I make a point? Mr. Henry, is the host there? Is the host there?
The host is here.
What are you doing?
Host? May I speak to the host? May I speak to the host?
I'm right here.
I'd like to make a point.
Go ahead.
First of all, there was a time when flight attendants and pilots were able to get along. A good-natured pat on a woman's ass means nothing. I do that now.
This is a joke, right? This is a joke. I mean, you're not serious,
ma'am, did you think September 11th was a joke? Did you think September 11th was a joke?
Absolutely not.
Well, then why would you?
It was your right to put your hand on somebody
else. It was something that the crew shared. Now I've got karate wielding bitch lesbians.
Nobody puts their hands on me unless I want them to.
You're not a flight attendant. I'm talking about the interaction between a flight crew. Now you've got these lesbians.
God, I can't believe you.
Somebody's going to take out one of my eyes.
I cannot believe you. I find you to be a disgusting man. You know that? We're very narrow-minded.
Let me tell you something.
And very much in fear of. Hang on to your balls, honey, because apparently you're really afraid of losing it.
If you're flying on a plane, the pilot suddenly.
You're on the air. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You're flying on a plane when suddenly the pilot gets his throat ripped out.
Yeah.
By a lesbian flight attendant.
Why would she rip your throat out?
I good-naturedly pat her on the ass for a cup of coffee.
This is a joke.
I'm going
to
tell you something.
Mr. Griego, you are saying some things so outrageous. Rip your throat out?
That's the kind of training.
I can't believe this.
Well, let me tell you something.
This has got to be Dean and Roger in the morning.
Can I ask you a question? Are you a flyer? Are you a flight attendant?
No, I told you I'm not.
Then
I'm
you don't
attorney.
Know what you're talking about.
I'm an attorney.
I'm talking about. Oh, Jesus, great. Well, yeah, I guess you'll be suing pretty soon.
No,
huh?
I won't be suing.
Oh,
why
you won't
be.
Well, there's a shock.
Why do you hate women so much?
I don't hate women. I hate female attorneys.
Okay, now...
Yeah,
you hate female lesbian flight attendants. Who do you like?
No, I just don't want anybody ripping my throat out when
Why would anybody have cause to rip your throat out? What would you
do that would incite
a woman to rip your throat out?
Let me ask you a question, Judy. What if I walked up to you in your office and gave you a good-natured squeeze of the ass?
You have no right to touch me.
Well, would you rip my throat out?
Of course not. I'd probably just tell you to get out of my office.
That's it?
Yes.
You want? How about a job as a flight attendant?
This is a joke.
Let me tell you something. I asked the lady the question, Phil.
Are you joking?
I asked both of you the question. Do you think September 11th was a joke?
Of course
Absolutely
we don't.
Absolutely not. Are you
then
kidding?
I am talking about flight safety, crew training.
You should
I'm
have
talking
as
about
many
the fact
people,
that air marshals...
As many people on that flight as can protect themselves and passengers. And I also believe that the
and so if
pilots
I'm up, and I'm flying,
be behind reinforced
and I'm
doors.
Having an identity crisis...
Why would you have an identity crisis? Because there's somebody who knows karate.
Yeah, really.
It's an emasculating feeling to know that a woman could come into the cockpit at any moment and literally snap my neck with that quick, that twist
somebody
turn.
Help.
Have
somebody
you ever
help.
Seen
Is
that
this
in
man
Dracula?
For real? Is
I'll
this
tell
man
you,
for real?
If I know that there's a flight attendant back there who could snap my neck, I'd lock myself in the cockpit with a bottle of Jim Beam.
Oh, that's comforting. While you're flying a commercial airliner?
Mr. Henry, I am asking everybody to understand that we have a serious situation.
Well, no kidding, man. Four planes got hijacked out of airports within an hour of each other. I know we got a serious situation. What's wrong with having a flight attendant know karate? And you're locking yourself in the cockpit with a bottle of Jim Beam while you're flying it?
No, not while I'm flying it. I would when I have my break.
Oh, great. And...
You find it funny. Everybody finds it funny. I am trying to address a serious security issue.
Well, buddy, if you think that being nervous, your identity crisis, the fact that you are emasculated, the fact that you're a flying eunuch, the fact that you have some disorientation, you don't know who's the man. Is that it? You don't know who the man is and who the woman is?
Something like that, yeah.
Great, and you'll fly the plane into a mountain because you think you're a woman?
Look, we have autopilot. You understand what that is?
Yeah.
That's when you pull out Gentleman Jack and a water bag.
Autopilot. Christina, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Is that me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. First of all, I don't see how good-natured and pat on the ass fit in the same sentence.
Ma'am,
because
it's a friendly...
nothing. Maybe if the pilots kept their hands to themselves, they wouldn't have to worry about getting their throats ripped out, first of all. Second of all, nobody in the... Maybe half of the women on board, half of the stewardesses or whatever have martial arts training or what have you.
I don't want to
know.
Why
is it only an issue now?
All right, what I'm asking is that they don't inform the pilot of it.
Why?
So that we don't feel bad.
Why should you feel bad? Why don't you go out and learn karate and then maybe you'll still kick our ass.
Let me ask you a question. Are you Latin?
No.
All right. You sound like you may have a healthy chest.
What has that got to do with...
How does a healthy chest sound?
You just sound large. So
okay, what is the point?
The point is, what would she feel like if her breasts, she woke up and they were smaller? That's what it's like being a pilot, knowing there's a flight attendant. What is that, the super express you're on?
No, see, I think that any man that feels like that already has a masculinity issue.
Well, that's what we're talking about here, Art.
Exactly.
Now, you're sitting there at the Spitfire Grill. You're having yourself a couple of pops.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but you're talking trash here, man. No flight attendant, just because you pat her on the ass, is going to rip your throat out.
Look at...
And why? Wait a minute, but what gives you the right to give anybody a pat on the ass? What if you gave me a good-natured pat on the ass and I turned it around and gave you a good-natured slap across the head? Then what?
Well, that's not good-natured. A pat on the ass feels good.
To whom?
To you. Let me just say,
as a bartender in a strip club,
I got a barmaid here. Here's the barmaid. Hey, honey.
What do you want?
I'm going to squeeze her ass here.
Oh, yeah.
See,
you better give her at least $5 for that, too.
She didn't mind it at all. It comes with the bars on my shirt collar.